today we're going to cover really quite a lot. If you've been keeping track, we are actually towards the end of the first chelek of Tanya, and the first chelek of remember the whole Sefer Tanya is called Likutei Amorim, which means an anthology of statements, because the Alter Rebbe, in his humility, basically said that he was not being mechadish anything. He is simply gathering together different statements from different Sfarim. And of course, that's kind of a little bit of a false claim, because there are many, many chidushim in the Sefer. He did not call the Sefer Tanya. The reason it was called Tanya is only because the first word of the Sefer happens to be Tanya. But Chelek Aleph of Likutei Amorim, which is by far the biggest, it is 53 chapters, that is, you'll recall, called Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book of the middle of the road. And what the Alter Rebbe is basically telling us is that the goal of every person, of the vast majority of people, is to be a Beinoni. Now, what does a Beinoni mean? A Beinoni does not mean half mitzvahs, half averus. A Beinoni actually means a person who serves Hashem with machshava, dibur, and maisa 100%, but he's still struggling with the Yetzer Hara, because people would ask the Alter Rebbe, I serve Hashem over and over again, and I still have the Yetzer Hara. Am I a failure? Am I missing the boat? Why aren't things changing? And the Alter Rebbe's message, which for some people might be pessimistic, but actually it's hopeful, is your job is to fight. Your job is to struggle. Don't think the struggle is ever going to go away. The tzaddik reaches a level where the ra turns into good. But your job is to fight that battle. Your job is to be a soldier. That's part of why Chabad is, to this day, is so fond of military terminology, right? The little kids are called Tzivos Hashem, the armies of Hashem. It really goes back to the Tanya, because he basically says, life is about struggle. And just because you have urges in your personality to do bad doesn't mean you're a failure. But Lehepech, that gives you the role of surmounting those struggles and being Kovesh, the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, one should recognize that every single time you achieve a victory over that struggle, you are bringing glorious nachas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And his message basically is, again, some people might be a little disheartening, the struggle is not going to go away. But that's your role. And I say you, I'm not including me. That's our role. That's our life. That's our mission. And that's how we bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why this is called Sefer Shel Beinonim. So I've said many, many times that although the Tanya is a very profound philosophical and Kabbalistic work, it very definitely is, but ultimately it was written as a manual of chizuk for people who felt that they weren't growing because they're still struggling with the same things they were struggling all along. And the Baal HaTanya's answer is no, lehepach. Every time you have that struggle and you emerge victorious, you are giving more nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even the greatest tzaddikim, even the greatest malachim. And that's why this is called Sefer Shel Beinonim. Now, you understand, obviously, that the Baal HaTanya has very unique definitions about tzaddik and Beinonim. I mean, if you look at the Rambam says a Beinonim is 50% averos, 50% mitzvos. A tzaddik is 51% mitzvos, 49% averos is called a tzaddik. According to the Baal HaTanya, no. A Beinoni is a person who struggles with Ra, but his madrega is to try to win 100% of the time. A tzaddik is a person who already subjected the nefesh abahamis and turned it into good. But the Baal HaTanya says, tzaddik is a matana from Hashem. It's not; it does not come from your own effort, meaning there's no way in your own that you can make yourself into a tzaddik. But that's not zelo mishaneh, because that's not your tachlis. But if a person is a tzaddik, and by the way, it also seems this way, it seems that a tzaddik could actually be a rasha by this definition. In other words, a person might be given a neshama that is so powerful that he could literally be a tzaddik, but he has the bechira to give in to the Yetzer Hara. Again, it's very paradoxical. You might have the neshama of a tzaddik and be a rasha, because that's bechira. Or lehepech, you could be a tzaddik gomor, but you're still a beinoni because you're still struggling with the ra. Right? In other words, Tzaddik and Benyani, according to the Baal Tanya's definition, is kind of referring to the nature of your soul. It is not referring to you. So in colloquial, in fact, Baal Tanya sometimes is not consistent. Sometimes when Baal Tanya says tzaddik, he just means a righteous person. But technically, it's a Benyani, right? As the Baal Tanya himself slips into the colloquial usage of tzaddik in Russia, which is a reflection of behavior. But in his technical definition of tzaddik in Russia, it is really referring to the nature of the animal soul that is within you, that the tzaddik, either in actuality or at least in potentiality, could literally change the animal soul. The Beinoni is stuck with the animal soul, but is still able to be misgavered. Again, as I point out, although the Baal Tanya bases all of this on Kabbalah, but this is ultimately a very important issue of chizuk. The questions that the Hasidim were asking the Baal Tanya were not questions like, how do you know there's God, or how do I know the Torah's min ha-shamayim? It wasn't those questions. These were ma'minim b'nei ma'minim. They were totally, totally committed to emunah. But they were asking questions about their avoda and their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, a chassid saw himself as a failure if he was still struggling with the Yetzer Hara, and the Baal Tanya's role was to tell him that that's not the case. Now, and the Sefer goes through many, many things. We had the struggle of the Neshamos, we had the role of the Beinoni. The Baal Tanya, by the way, did not tell us very clearly in this book what is the role of a tzaddik. I mean, in some ways, he created a problem. He elevated and glorified the Beinoni to such a degree that you kind of wonder, gee, what do tzaddikim add to the world? They don't add anything to the world. They're not struggling. They're not bringing Hashem out of darkness. Like, you know, what's so great about tzaddikim? So in truth, the Baal Tanya does not address it here, because this is called Sefer Shel Beinonim. But Chabad has a Mesira that the Alter Rebbe did write, something called Sefer Shel Tzaddikim, and that Sefer got burnt up. It's also said among Hasidim that if the Tanya is Sefer Shel Beinonim, Likutei Maharan, the words of Rav Nachman of Breslov, are Sefer Shel Rishayim. Now, that is not meant to be as insulting as it sounds. That's actually a credit, meaning to say, Rav Nachman is where you go to if you've fallen so much that you feel you no longer have the control to become a good person. So Rav Nachman can pull you out of that morass. So if a person, chas v'shalom, is already in a matzav of Russia, where the godly soul seems to be so imprisoned that it can't get out, Likutei Maharan will help you. And then the Tanya will keep you at the Madrega of the Beinoni, where you successfully are misgaber against the enemy. Right? So that's I'm not sure who says. I'm not sure if Breslov makes that claim or Chabad makes that claim. I'm not sure which group says that Likutei Maharan is the safer shell Rishoyim. But okay. And we talked about, again, we'll chazer the whole thing over after we finish. He talked about Eitzes, Ravaitis Hashem B'Simcha, and the like. But in the last part of the Sefer, really starting from Perek Mem Gimel, so it's really the last 10 Prakim, or 11 Prakim, Mem Gimel to Nun Gimel, there's a whole discussion about the role of Kavana in mitzvahs. And let me point out how important this is. Without knowing the history, you don't always realize how important this is. That is, in early Hasidus, there was a big, 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 big debate. Not necessarily among the Gedolei Hasidus, but among Hasidim, in which there was such an emphasis on Kavana, on Avas Hashem, on Yiras Hashem, on Dveikus, that there were groups in the Hasidic world who actually said, you know, keeping halacha b'diyuk is not really a big deal if it takes you away from real kavana. In fact, that was the origin, which is even today is one remnant of it, of not keeping Zman Kriya Shema. Because, you know, the main point is Ol Malchus Shemayim. If I get up at 7 o'clock and I'm tired and I say Shema Bizmana, but at 10:30 I can say Shema with Gavalaga Kavana, isn't it better to say Shema at 10:30? After all, isn't the whole point, you know, the Kavana? So this is one of the reasons why the Vilna Gaon was very much against Hasidus. He saw in some aspects of Hasidus a zilzal of Kiyum HaMitzvahs, by emphasizing the subjective kavana of a mitzvah. So it's very, very interesting that you have to understand that, that the Baal HaTanya is bedafka against that approach. And that's why he says over and over again, Hamaisa hu ha'ikar. The ikar is the maisa, which is exactly the point that Rav Chaim Volozhiner makes in the Nefesh HaChaim, which was written after the Tanya. And that's why in many, many ways the Sforim are in, although it's commonly said that Nefesh HaChaim was written as a response to the Tanya. I'm not sure if that's right. I think it is very much the case that Nefesh HaChaim was written as a response to Chassidus. But in terms of gishot, in terms of approaches, the Baal HaTanya and Nefesh HaChaim are very much the same. And indeed, this was said by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and at first I didn't believe the statement was true, although, you know, who am I to judge, in which he said, oh, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was influenced by the Tanya. I mean, I can't say that that's the case, but I can tell you that, number one, the Tanya was printed before the Nefesh HaChaim. And number two, there's a lot in the Nefesh HaChaim that is said in the Tanya. Right? So whether that means Rav Chaim Volozhiner got it from the Tanya or not, I don't know. But they are very, very much the same. I mean, there are some chilukim, obviously, if you really, really are medayek and are ma'ayin, you're going to see differences. But the overall gisha is very similar. The Baal HaTanya makes the point. The ikar is maisa. Remember, Rav Chaim Volozhiner gave the famous example. Let's say a person wanted to make a Seder after Pesach, and he did so with gevaldige kavana, it's not going to count. I think I told you, I said this mashal over to a group of some non-religious people, and a woman actually said, oh yeah, we did that one year. We couldn't get the family together for the Seder, so we decided to make a Seder after Pesach. It was wonderful. It was the best Seder we ever had. Mamish the mashal of Rav Chaim of Volozhin. Now here, though, the Baal HaTanya does emphasize, and maybe this is where he differs a little bit with the Nefesh HaChaim, that you still need to bring to your mitzvahs Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But listen to the raya that he brings. The raya that shows how important it is also shows that it's secondary to the Maisa. Because he brings from the Zohar HaKadosh this beautiful statement that Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, loving God and fearing, revering God, are trei gadfin. Gadfin is Aramaic for wings. They are the two wings, desalkin la'ela, that bring your mitzvos up to Hashem. They are the two wings. So says the Tanya the following. You see two nekudos from that mimer. Number one, you see, that if I do mitzvahs without Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, they don't really go anywhere. Now that already, the Nefesh HaChaim may be chaylik. They're kind of on the ground. They don't go up to Shemayim. But, he then makes the other point, fascinating, about Tanya often gives you an opposite point. Since we only call them wings, they are not the etzem guf. A bird has a body, and a bird has wings. The wings enable the body to fly. But the wings themselves are not the body. And indeed, even La Halacha, and the Baal HaTanya was a great, great Paisek in Halacha, I mean, even among the non-Hasidim, when the Mishnah Berurah brings Shulchan Aruch HaRav, or Shulchan Aruch HaGrashaz, HaGayin Rav Shneur Zalman, he is bringing from the Shulchan Aruch, the Lubavitcher Shulchan Aruch. Right, so the Rav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, is a great Paisek. So Rav Shneur Zalman says, the Halacha is, if a bird is missing a wing, or even two wings, it is not a trefa. It is not a trefa. Memele, here's what the Baal HaTanya says. Chassidim have it wrong. Chassidim say, the purpose of the mitzvos is to bring me to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. He says, it's the other way around. The purpose of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is so your mitzvahs go up. Meaning, the ultimate goal are the mitzvahs. This is mamish, mikase o kase. The mitzvahs are not a means to give you Avas Hashem. Lehepech, the Avas Hashem and the Yiras Hashem are a means to make your mitzvahs do what your mitzvahs are supposed to do. But the goal in life are the mitzvos themselves. One has to understand, this is a revolutionary idea in Chassidus, that Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are not goals, they are the means that enable the mitzvos to accomplish those goals. One has to know, and that the Bible, when the Tanya was written, it was very, very controversial among Chassidim, not among Misnagdim, among Chassidim. Many, many Chassidim attacked the Sefer HaTanya. Number one, they attacked it because it was too intellectual. It was trying to give an intellectual foundation for Avodah, and they felt that wasn't the Baal Shem Tov's Derech. They accused the Baal HaTanya of kind of, you know, bringing his Misnagdic philosophy into Chassidus. And number two, he was criticized because he was teaching Kabbalah to the masses. Too much Kabbalah here. And among other Rebbeim, the concept was the Rebbe was the Mekobel, and you just attached yourself to the Rebbe. In fact, they tell a mice with the Baal HaTanya that there was another Chassidish Rebbe who inspired Talmidim to be very, very emotional in their davening. And someone, a Talmud of the Baal HaTanya, complained almost. He said to his Rebbe, he says, I see how much this person's neshama is burning during davening, and I'm jealous. So the Baal HaTanya said to him, it's not his neshama that's burning, it's his Rebbe's neshama that's burning in him. But I want to light your neshama. By your understanding, I want your neshama to burn, not simply taking in what somebody else taught you. Okay, right, so the Tanya was very controversial in that way, and therefore, in this part of the Tanya, starting from around Perek Mem Gimel, the idea that Ava and Yira are the Trei Gadfin, on one hand, emphasizes the critical importance of Ava v'Yira, but at the same time emphasizes that Ava and Yira are the wings, but the Iker is the Maisa. Again, this is revolutionary. I mean, it's a funny thing, you know, sometimes it's hard when you learn old Svarim, and they're saying things, and you say, well, that's Pashut, you know, that's what we've always, I mean, you know, whoever said not that way? Right? You have to know. Plenty of people said not that way, and if now it's like a Dover Pashut, that everybody's Makabel, it's because of the Hadracha of Svarim, like the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim. There was a whole philosophy of Judaism that went the other way. And indeed, those people who are not Orthodox still espouse such a philosophy. They'll say the Iker is spirituality, the Iker is feeling. Why do you have to keep all of these halakhas? I mean, that philosophy still exists in the world, but it tends to be, Baruch Hashem, outside of the camp of Torah. It is no longer a dominant hashkafa in the island of the Torah. Although with open Orthodoxy, it's making a little bit of a resurgence there. But okay. Kind of pre-Tanya Chassidus, but alright. And again, when I say pre-Tanya Chassidus, I don't mean to say this was ever the derech of the Baal Shem Tov or the Maggid of Mezrich. That was not their derech, but there were followers who took certain things to an extreme, and as a result, there were mezalzel in certain mitzvahs. And today, the shirayim of that is man tefillah. In other words, it is interesting that for some crazy reason, in that particular area, that hashkafa is still here, although in other areas, Hasidim Fakirat, they're very, very meticulous, are very zohir in mitzvahs. Okay. So, in discussing Ava, the Baal HaTanya discusses no fewer than seven different madregas of Ava Sashem. Some of them we went over. I want to just give you a listing of them and a brief explanation so you understand different levels of Ava Sashem. Now, first of all, he was makdim that Avas Hashem is only one wing. You have to have Yiras Hashem as well. A bird cannot fly with one wing. And Yiras Hashem, he didn't have a long discussion about, but he divided Yiras Hashem into two categories, only two categories. Yira Tata, lower Yira, and Yira Ila'a, and higher Yira. And although it would be tempting to say that this corresponds to the chiluk going all the way back to Rav Sadja Gaon between Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaRomamus, right? One type of Yira is, I'm afraid of getting punished. and another type, which is fear, and another type of yira is awe and reverence. So it would be tempting just to plug it in. Yira tata is onesh, and yira ilah is romamus. But apparently that's not the case. As usual, the Baal HaTanya is a little more complicated. Yira sa'onesh, he's not even counting at all. And both tata and ilah are different levels of romamus. But yira tata comes from my awe and reverence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the awesome, unlimited power to do whatever he wants. And therefore that gives me, not talking about fear, that gives me awe and reverence as I contemplate the infinite greatness of God. Now that will include onesh, but that also includes romamus. But then yira ilah is a higher level of understanding that my whole mitzius is non-existent except for the Ratzon Hashem. In other words, it's not simply Hashem has the power to destroy me, but rather I don't have an existence apart from Hashem, which is really a deeper understanding of the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Yira Ilah. Okay. And that is a foundation of Yira, but then we move to the higher level of Avas Hashem, which is the yearning to be dovuk to Hashem. So the first two chilukim, again, they're going to be a total of seven levels here. They overlap a little bit. is a dichotomy that the Rebbe calls, now this we had gone over, but it's kedai to the chazer, a dichotomy between what is called Ava Rabba and Ava Solom. Now again, the Rebbe made up these terms as they applied here. And as Ava Rabba, we know, is of course the bracha, second bracha of Kriya Shema in the morning. Ava Rabba, a great unlimited love. Avas Olam is also the second bracha before Shema that we say at night. And the Rebbe took these two terms and he applied them to different types of love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One type of love is called Ava Rabba, and Ava Rabba is also called Ava Bitanugim, the love of pleasure. That's the love in which you're not yearning to be with Hashem, but you actually feel the pleasure of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Ava Rabba is not the love of desire. It is not the love of yearning. It's the love of togetherness. A person actually feels davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we would not describe it. Love is often described as fire, as thirst, as desire. Ava Rabba is not thirst or fire or desire. Ava Rabba is actually feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most powerful way. This is called Ava Rabba because this is unlimited, because this connects you to God beyond the bounds of the world. Now, here, the Baal HaTanya says, Ava Rabba is not something a person can get by, with his Avaida. It's a Sechar. If Hashem decides to reward a person, and the reward will come, interestingly enough, if he's shalem biyira. If a person is shalem biyira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may give him the sechar of me'ein olam haba. That is called Ava Rabba. But it does not come automatically from anything that you do. Maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't get it.
Is it the highest or the lowest?
Well, this is the highest, but it's not the highest in the sense of your Avaida. In other words, Ava Rabba is the Bechina of Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, we will all experience it to a greater or lesser degree. There are many Madregos. In this world, it can be experienced, but, you know, there's nothing you can do to get it. The only thing is, only a person that is Shalem Biyira can be Zocha to this. So, we would say, Shlemus in Yira Ilah is a necessary but not sufficient condition. It's not a sufficient condition, but it's a necessary condition. Okay. And for Shteitzach, he has to be someone that keeps the Torah. Now, the next level, or maybe it's a concurrent level, is called Avas Olam. Avas Olam is when a person, it's very close to Yira Ilah, when a person is mispainin as to the greatness of Hashem, he yearns to be close to Him. And therefore he wants to do the mitzvos that bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is motivated out of love, you want to bring joy to the one that you love because you want to be close to the one that you love. So in this type of madrega, there is this sense that I'm not, you know, I want to be close to God, and I know I'm not so close as I want to be. But I do whatever I can. And this comes from his hispaininess, this comes from contemplation, this comes from thinking. Again, it overlaps very much. What you think about is kimat the same things that you think about in Yira Ilah, the godless of Hashem, the fact that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's nothing. And I am so grateful, and my heart is filled with love. And that's called Avas Olam, because it is an Ava in which you're still limited to the world. You're in the world, so to speak. You haven't united with the Ein Sof on the level of Ava of Ava Rab. Okay, so that's Avas Olam. Okay. So now, he then moves to three other, he then moves to the idea that sometimes people are not capable by his spininess alone. Their minds are not powerful enough, their emotions are not powerful enough, that they will feel this ava by his spininess. So the Balatanya gives us what you might call four exercises, four meditative exercises that will open up the natural love that is in your heart, right? There is an ava misuteres in the lake, and your goal is to bring it behiskalos libo. Behiskalos libo means you actually feel it on a conscious level. And the way I understand it, although different sforim write different ways, I think these are aspects of avas olam, meaning to say, how you come to avas olam is in the following four ways. If I wouldn't count them as separate, I would count them as avas olam, to be ma'orer, ava mesuteres. The first is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, and this is called nafshi ivisicha. Now this is a pasuk that says, my soul, David HaMelech says to Hashem, my soul has yearned for you at night. So the Balatanya, Kedarkai, offers a unique translation of the verse. Instead of nafshi being the subject, my soul is yearning for you, nafshi is the object. You're speaking to your soul. Nafshi, my soul, ivi sicha, I am yearning for you. So here is the concept. Your soul is God, because God breathed into you his essence. And therefore, just as every person loves his life. Now, when I say love your life, I don't mean you necessarily love everything that's happening in your life. A person might even say, you know, I hate my life. But he doesn't really mean he hates his life. He hates the way things are going. Okay, that's a separate problem. That is a problem that one has to work on. But the etzem idea of life, I mean, there are people, Rahman al-Islam, who are suicidal, but that is rare. Most people want to live. So nafshi ivisicha is the hispaininess. That if Hashem is my life, then the same way I love my life, I love Hashem, because He is my life. He is my life. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, I would have no life. So if I love my life, I love that which is why I have life. Right, so that's the hispaininess of nafshi ivisicha, in which love of God emanates from love of life, because He is the makor of chayim. Okay? That is the love that is called nafshi ivisicha. And that's based on a pasuk in Tehillim, and again, the Balatanya's interpretation is nafshi kama, my soul, ivi sicha, I yearn to be connected to you. Now, the next love again, and as I say, this I would look at as a meditation to bring out what is called the Ava Mesutera, the hidden love, and bring it, the Hiskalos Levi, to be conscious and revealed in your heart, is based on a passage in the Zohar, and the Baal Tanya refers to it, Ki Bra Di Ishtadel. Bra Di Ishtadel is like a son will do anything for his parents, and even give up his life for his parents. And that is the love that a child has for a parent. Now, it's very interesting that the Zohar is taking an interesting tack on this, because we often say the opposite. In fact, there's a Gemara that indicates the love of a parent for a child is greater than the love of a child for a parent. And this even has a reflection in halacha. The din of gainei v'machteres, right? If somebody is a burglar digging into your house, so you're allowed to kill them because the theory would be that they're going to be willing to kill you, and therefore you can kill them because they would kill you. So it's brought down like this. It's brought down that if a parent is the burglar, if the parent is a burglar in his son's house, the son cannot kill the parent, because for sure the parent would never kill the son. Mashainke, if the son is the burglar, the father is allowed to kill the son. The father may not want to, but the father is allowed to kill the son because the son will kill the father. So the Gemara clearly goes with the idea that parent loves child more than child loves parent. And in fact, they even give a reason for this, because Adam HaRishon had children, but Adam HaRishon did not have a human parent. So if you talk about the love for a child was in the human personality before love for a parent was in the human personality. Because love for a parent did not enter the human personality until the second generation. And love for a child entered the human personality all the way back from the first generation. And that makes it deeper. So that's how we normally understand it. And as I say, that's even reflected in halacha. But interestingly enough, the Zohar, when it talks about ultimate sacrifice out of love, it does not talk about the parent willing to die for the child. It talks about the child willing to die for the parent. And that's the model of Hashem as our parent. So that's our second meditation, in which, now the difference is, you see, this is almost the opposite. Nafshi v'sicha says, I love God because I'm alive. Radi Ishtadel says, I love God and I'm willing to die for God. It takes it one step further, because it is the love of a child. It is the love of a child. What is that upstairs? What is it? It is the love, right? So you see how it's a different madrega a little bit. Radi Ishtadel already takes you to the place where you're willing to die for God. Nafshi v'sicha may not have taken you there. Nafshi v'sicha says, I love God because He is life. The second madrega is, God is my parent. I'm willing to even die for Him. Kibra d'ishtadl. Right, that's the second way. Now again, these are the mechanisms of being ma'orer, what is called ava misuteret shebelev. So it comes out b'hiskalos libo, the revelation of the heart, and what I'm suggesting is, I would subsume this under Abbas Olam, although the Mechaber is not entirely clear about that. Okay. Now, third meditation, to be ma'orer, the Ava in your heart, is rachamim. And rachamim is the concept is this. Have rachamim for Hashem. That Hashem gave you a holy soul that is part of His essence. And this holy soul is imprisoned in a body, full of urges, full of Yetzer Haras. It's as if the most radiant, holiest thing in the world is condemned to be in a prison, in what's called, according to the Zohar, Mishcha Dechivya. Mishcha Dechivya is the skin of a snake. And if you think about how much this neshama is suffering in the guf, in the animal soul, eventually, compassion gives rise to love. When you have rachamim, you love. Again, he quotes a pasuk that it says, Yaakov redeems Avraham. That's a little enigmatic. What does it mean, Yaakov redeems Avram? So in Kabbalah, Avram represents the Midah of Chesed, which is unconditional love. Yaakov represents mercy, which is a more moderate. Mercy combines justice and Chesed. And when it says it redeems Avram, and that is, when the love of Avram is not coming out, it's imprisoned in the heart, the Midah of Yaakov, the Rachamim of Yaakov. And this is Rachamim over the Shechina. Strange idea. Feel Rachamim over that aspect of the Shechina that is imprisoned in Tumah. And that is the meaning of the Pasuk, he says. Other Sforim say it as well. A person should do tshuva. It says, V'yashoyv al Hashem. He should return to Hashem. V'rachameihu. So, the standard translation is, he should return to Hashem, so Hashem will have mercy on him. That's how the Arch Scroll would translate it. He says, no. Yashayv al Hashem. Return to God, v'rachameihu, so you should have mercy on Hashem that is imprisoned in the dirt. And rachamim gives rise to love. Now, this bichlal, by the way, is an important idea, not just here. This is an important idea in human relationships. You know, you meet, the Talmud Devorah talks about this, Rav Moshe Cordovero. You deal with people that are difficult, people that are mean, people that are rude, people that are coarse. And you don't like them, right? You don't like them. I don't want to connect to them. They rub me the wrong way. They're just not refined people. But if you start being misbinane about the difficulties in their life, what made them this way? Right? And in fact, Moshe Cordovero even says, it sounds like a modern idea, make believe, take the clock back. At some point, just like computer, you know, turn the computer back before there was a mistake or something. Go back when they were 2 years old. They must have been a cute baby at some time in their life. So maybe not, but most, you know, most kids are cute at some point. 1 month, you know, whatever it would be. And then you ask yourself, what happened? How did this beautiful, cute, adorable child become such a rotten guy? Now, you don't know, but then you think, things must have happened. The way people treated him, maybe the way his parents treated him, the way his teachers treated him. The circumstances of life. And then what happens is, says the Ramak, you feel rachamim for him. You don't feel anger. And when you feel rachamim, you cry over, how did somebody who was so beautiful become this way? And then from rachamim, you get to love. So instead, again, this is a reversal. We think, when I love somebody, I feel rachamim when they suffer, because I love them. That's true. But it also works the other way. The rachamim can cause the love. Can cause the love. And therefore, meditation number 3, we had nafshi v'sicha. I love God because He is life. Barad tiyishtato. I'm willing to die for God because He is my parent. And the third is rachamim. I feel rachamim for the tsar of the Shechina when I sin and the Shechina kavyachal is imprisoned in this tumah, in this filth. And as a result, from my rachamim, there is love, just as we say, Yaakov, the midah of Yaakov, which is rachamim, is paida Avram. It brings out the imprisoned love of Avram, which is chesed. Okay, that's meditation number 3. And then he brings meditation number 4, which is the longest. He actually has 4 prakim on this. Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, and Mem Tes. 4 prakim. This next meditation, and this is based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, which I mentioned it many times in other contexts. Kemayim haponim elponim, kein leif ha'adam liyadam. As water, this is from Shlomo HaMelech, as water reflects the face that you show the water, so too the heart of a human being reflects that which you show the human being. Now, what does that mean in Pashat Pshat? If I look at a reflecting pool of water, I look down at a pool of water, whatever face I show the water is the face I'm going to get back. If I smile at the water, I get back a smiling face. It's my face. If I frown at the water, I get back a frowning face. So what does Shlomo HaMelech say? As water reflects the face that you show it, the heart of a person will reflect that which you show that person. You show that person love. You show that person care. They will care for you. You show that person disdain. You show that person they don't matter. That's how they're going to feel. Okay, this is an amazing thing. Of course, people always ask, so who's supposed to start this? Meaning, if I love you, then you'll love me. Okay, so why can't I say, well, if you love me, I'll love you? In other words, who starts? Right? So the emphasis is, you're right, but somebody has to start. And generally speaking, if a person is a Ben Taira, then you start, right? I mean, as I say, this is a big mafteach to religious-secular disputes. You know, as you know, in Eretz Yisrael, there are so many machloksim between religious Jews and secular Jews. And even within religious Jews, different types of religious Jews, people who keep Torah, but whatever it is, Haredi, that's who you meet, different groups of Hasidim. But part of why these machloksim go on is because each group looks at the other group as bad. So if I look at this group as a Amalek, they'll look at me as a parasite. If we would look at the others with, for example, the army, we would look at the army and have hakara satov for the army, then I think the army and the government would understand the chashivas of Torah too. Now, there was the other way around. Instead of saying the army, bad, 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 say, you know, you didn't have to learn Torah. Without Torah, there's not going to be siyata d'shmaya. But we are grateful for what the army does also, because the army is part of the ishtadlus that is needed for the brachas of Hashem. I think that would change the whole perception of how the secular part looks at Torah learning. Why? Why do I say, how do I know that? I know that because that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Kamayim apanim el panim, kein leifa adam liadam. I want us to think about that. So that's why the people who block traffic and the people who spit on soldiers are not going to achieve any goal whatsoever other than make things worse. They're not going to make things better, even in terms of their own agenda. Okay, I don't want to editorialize. But here's what the Baal HaTanya says, though. We see from this pasuk, how is this nogeh to Avas Hashem? So this is going to be the aside. We see from this pasuk that when you feel the love that someone has for you, that's ma'orer, the love you have for them. Because what they show you is what will come out of you. So Memela, he says, this is meditation number 4. If a person is masik, the love Hashem has for them, that will give them love for Hashem. Because that's kamayim apanim apanim. And therefore, meditation number 4 is not focusing on my love of Hashem. It is focusing on Hashem's love for me. And by focusing on Hashem's love for me, that is going to be ma'orer, the love that I have for Hashem. Now, when you describe Hashem's love for me, there are different ways you can do it. Now, the Baal HaTanya happens to move in a very abstract, Kabbalistic way. Kedarka, that he almost uses this as an excuse to talk about Tzimtzum and Kabbalah, which he didn't have to do it here, but he loves those topics a lot. And just like the Rambam actually says that the Rambam likes certain philosophical ideas so much that whenever he has the excuse, the Rambam writes this, he will do it. The Baal HaTanya, in the same way, is very attached to going through Tzimtzum, and he'll do that, and I'll show you how it fits. But I just want to point out that the basic thought is a short thought, and that is, I come to Avas Hashem by being margish the love Hashem has for me, and that's the bechina of kamayim apanim opanim. Now, how do I know, how do I see Hashem's love for me? So here, putting aside the Tanya for a moment, if you look at Sfarim like the Chayvas HaLevavos, and Rabbi Victor Miller uses this a lot, you look at the nature of the world, you look at the fact that Hashem puts everything in the world to allow life to flourish, and even things that are not necessary for life. Color, music, right? The Chayvas HaLevavos makes a point. I could live in a world without color. I could live in a world without music. I could live in a world without good taste. You know, food could be mush or whatever it would be. So why does Hashem put things like taste in the world and color in the world and music in the world? Because these are things that give joy, and Hashem wants to give you joy, wants to give you happiness. So the Eibishter is filled with chasadim. He shows his love all the time. Now people then say, well, wait a second, okay. But God does a lot of bad things too. Kids die of cancer and there's Holocaust and everything else. So even putting aside the fact that a lot of evil is done by human beings exercising Bechira, let me point out, the Rambam says in the Mori Nevuchim, a very fascinating argument. Now this may sound a little abstract, but he actually makes this as a philosophical argument. The Rambam says, people debate, is there more good in the world than bad, or is there more bad in the world than good? Is the world essentially lousy with occasional good things? Or is the world fundamentally good with occasional bad things? So listen to what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, I'll prove to you that the world is basically good with occasional bad things. And that is the fact that we are outraged and suffer when bad things happen. If bad things are the normal situation of life, then bad things wouldn't induce in us a revulsion and a shock. Why do we get shocked when tragedies happen? Now, this is not explaining why tragedies happen. We're not answering that question. But why do we get shocked? Because it's not the normal way things work. Again, this is a philosopher's argument, but the Rambam argues the fact that we get shocked when evil happens is a proof that the world is fundamentally good, and that is why we get shocked when something is beyond the norm. Right? If you lived in a society where every day, you know, children drop dead of bullets or whatever it would be, it wouldn't shock. And indeed, there are places in the world where these things happen and people don't get shocked. Just a matter of course. Right? Okay. So that's the Pashut way you can learn, that I'm Margish Hashem's love in the life that he gives me. The Bala Tanya makes the point in a more complicated Kabbalistic way. And that is the idea that Hashem is an Ein Sof, Hashem is infinite. And yet, Hashem concealed himself, he withdrew himself through the different worlds, going through Atzilus, which is pure godliness. Remember the four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Each time he conceals himself more and more and more and more to enable our physicality to exist. So what is Hashem doing? Hashem Kaviyachol is shrinking himself, he's concealing himself, he's disguising himself, all so that he could have a relationship with us. Because it wouldn't be shayach for us to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if his full light would be revealed, because then we would become batel b'metzias, like a candle simply gets absorbed in the sun and cannot have a separate existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem himself in order that we exist and we have a relationship. He, as it were, on some level is denying the infinity of his very essence to make room for us. And he quotes an ingenious dimyan to the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Hasecheres HaPayalim. And it's interesting, you wouldn't, unless you looked up the Gemara, in fact, unless you have an annotated Tanya, which this is not, you wouldn't even know he was quoting a Gemara, and you wouldn't know what he was referring to. He quotes a phrase four times here called Ava Docheches Es HaBasor. Love pushes in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? So Gemara in Bava Metzia, listen to the analogy here. The Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses, a little off color, it discusses extremely obese Amoraim. I don't want to mention the names. Very, very obese, extremely obese. It talks about when these two people were together, you could have cows walk under their stomachs. Their stomachs were coming out this way. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, right, in the Gemara we talk about everything. How could they get married and have children? How could they possibly have relations with their wives? They were so obese. So the Gemara's phrase is, Ava, when you love somebody, that pushes in the flesh, that contracts the flesh. You somehow make room for the other. So the Bala Tanya says, this is an earthy example, but the Bala Tanya says, that's how it works with Hashem. When you love somebody, you make room for them, even though your physical essence should fill up the place. You make room. The Eibishter is Mole Kola Aretz Kavoda. He made room for us. And he quotes, Ava Dechekes Es Abasar. The Ava causes Hashem Kavyochel to constrict and restrict himself. And the Bala Tanya says, therefore, what's the lesson for me? If Hashem put aside his essence, put aside his infinity to make room for me, then I should put aside all of my concerns, all of my taibas, all of my agendas to serve Hashem. Kamayim upon him, upon him. Because I see what Hashem did for me, I do it for Hashem. And he says, with this, he gives a little bit of a hesbrap about the meaning of Birchas Kriyashma. You know, in the morning, we have two brachas before Shema. We have Yotzer Or, which is the long bracha, it ends with Yotzer Amoros, and we have Ava Rabba. And they are called the Birchas Kriyashma. And the question becomes, they have nothing to do with Kriyashma. In other words, they're not a Birchas HaMitzvah in Kriyashma. In fact, we don't say, Birchas Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Likro Es Hashma. Why we don't is another question, but it's very clear, Birchas Kriyashma are not Birchas HaMitzvah. They're Stamazai praising God. So why are they there? Like, why are they connected to Kriyashma? So the Alter Rebbe says like this, the primary Avodah of Kriyashma is to open up an Avas Hashem, the Ahavta Eis Hashem Alekecha. You should love Hashem. B'chol levavcha. Your whole heart should only love Hashem, meaning put aside even your wife and your children. You love Hashem. B'chol nafshcha, be willing to give up your life. Be willing to be mafkir your mammon. Love Hashem. By what? By learning Torah. By yu'advar ma'ela, by learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs. But how do I awaken the love of Hashem? I awaken my love of Hashem by thinking about the way Hashem loves me, and that is the teichen of the first two brachas of Shema. Because in the first bracha, we describe the malachim, the angels in heaven, the millions and gazillions of malachim that praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Kedusha. Right? The malachim, Ha'ifanim B'chayos HaKadosh. And yet, Hashem left all of those malachim to be mitzamsem himself, limit himself, and connect with us. And then Ava Rabba, which is the bracha of Torah. He gave us his will. The Torah and Hashem is one, because since Hashem is an undifferentiated unity, his Ratzon and his Metzias is one, so the Ein Sof is Nislabesh. It is dressed in the Torah itself. So what is the purpose of Birchas Kriyashma? To make us feel the, in fact, Ava Rabba talks about, Chem Lagidah talks about the love that Hashem has for us. It's to make us feel the love Hashem has for us. Memela, that's the Hakana, the Ahavta is Hashem Elokecha, Kemayim Apanim Apanim. Right? So far we mentioned, therefore, four mechanisms to be Ma'ayrer, the Avas Olam, Nafshi Ivisicha, Broad the Ishtado, Rachamim, and Mayim Haponim Elponim. And here, by the way, he says as an aside, the famous, beautiful words, that this idea that every day Hashem is taking me out of Mitzrayim, because mitzad myself, I'm a mushkes, I'm a lowlife. I'm filled with animal taivas. I'm filled with the lowliness of the worst possible Yetzer Haras. And every day Hashem wants to unite with me and connect with me. He's taking me out of Mitzrayim. When it says every person must regard himself as if he was taken out of Mitzrayim, the Baal HaTanya says every single day Hashem is taking you out of Mitzrayim, or at least giving you the opportunity to come out of Mitzrayim. So all of this is the meditation. Again, this goes to four prakim, Tanya, of Kamayim Apanim Opanim. Okay. So we've mentioned Ava Rabba, we've mentioned Avas Olam. In Avas Olam, we have these four ideas: Nafshi Visicha, Bradi Ishtadal, Rachamim, and Mayim Apanim Opanim. Okay? That's the. Now, in Perek Nun, he then goes on to yet the highest level of love. And he basically says that all of the levels of love I've been talking about, I don't think he means Avarabba. Avarabba is the Matana, but all of the levels of love that the human works on is called Kesef. It is called silver love. And Kesef, of course, has a double meaning, because Kesef also means yearning, Kisufim. But he says there's another type of love that is called gold. And gold love is more precious than silver love. And this is the love, really, as far as I can see, this is really an intensification. This is the love what is called Kalos HaNefesh. Kalos HaNefesh is a madrega. It's not simply you're willing to give your life for God because you love God. Rather, you literally don't want to live. It's very, very fascinating. He says, you don't want to be in a guf. Your love for God is so intense that, like a flame that tries to escape from a wick, you don't want to any. You don't want anything but to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you then realize that Hashem wants me to be here. See, in the Maisa Merkava, when Yechezkel sees the different angels in the Merkava, so they're described as Ratzo V'Shov. Ratzo V'Shov means they move forward and they move back. And that's the Avaida here. The Ava of Kalos HaNefesh, Kalos with a Chaf, is Ratzo, I want to move forward. But then I know I have to go back. So I don't commit suicide. But it's almost as if I have an out-of-body experience. And by the way, the Baal HaTanya writes, this is a fascinating little personal note. He says, he cannot explain this in writing. This cannot be fully explained in writing. But those who have experienced it know of what I'm talking about. So the Baal HaTanya is discussing his own particular madrega in Avodas Hashem. And which is quite amazing. The Baal HaTanya, again, he was a very fascinating person. I mean, besides his svarim, because he very much was a phenomenal person who was involved in the Olam HaMaisa. He was a tremendous organizer. I mean, he organized communities of Hasidim. He supervised. He fundraised. He collected money. He distributed money. In other words, he was not a person that you would say just kept away from the world. But you see what's going on here. Basically, he didn't want to live in the world. He just wanted to be with Hashem. But the love he has for Hashem says, you've got to go back. Even though you don't want to. And he didn't go back grudgingly. He went back belayv sholem to do what had to be done. But this is the madrega of Kalos HaNefesh and the madrega of what's called Ratzo V'Shaif. You run towards Hashem and then you know you have to go back. Now it's very, very interesting. In the Nefesh HaChayim, when he talks about what a person's kavana in tefillah is, the highest kavana, he says exactly this, that when a person davens, he should reach a level in which he literally does not want to be in this world. And he then forces himself to come back, because that's the Ratzon Hashem. But really, nothing matters. In fact, Rav Chaim Volozhin has the whole thing that you're not praying for anything physical. Even though the words of tefillah seem to be physical, you're praying for his karvus Hashem. And that's why Rav Chaim Volozhin says, you know why you begin your Shmoneh Esrei with the pasuk Hashem Sefasai Tiftach? Because if your soul separates from your body shouldn't be able to do anything. It's like you're dead. So you have to ask Hashem, let me have enough life in my body so I could still talk to you. That's the madrega a person reaches in tefillah. That's not our madrega, but this is the madrega that he says. So very much the same as the Baal HaTanya, that the level of avas Hashem is, I don't even want to be here. I don't want this prison. But then, your love says, I'm going to be here, because that's the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so that's the highest level, and that's considered to be the love of gold. Interestingly enough, he brings from the Zohar that the love of silver is the Avaida of Kaihanim, and the love of gold is the Madrega of Levium, which are in a higher Madrega, because their Madrega is Shira and Zimra. And Shira and Zimra can create an ecstasy where the soul leaves the body. And that's why he brings, when Mashiach comes, the Ari says, the Levium will become the Kohanim. Because the primary Avaida will be that Madrega of the highest level of Avaida. Right now, the Levium are not our standard Avaida. They augment the Avaida, but the standard Avaida is the Avaida of regular Ava. The Mosa Mashiach, it'll be the gold love of the Levium. Okay, this is what the Baal HaTanya does. So this takes us, we did quite a lot tonight, but it's good. Sometimes it's good to see the forest, otherwise you get lost in the individual trees, to just see the progression of the Baal HaTanya's argument and structure. And this leaves us with three prakim left, Nun Aleph, Nun Beis, and Nun Gimel, and they are really an appendix. Indeed, in the earliest versions of Tanya, these last three prakim weren't even there. And this was the end of the Sefer Shalbeinunim, talking about the levels of Avas Hashem. But in the last three prakim, which are somewhat Kabbalistic, a little abstract, the Rebbe discusses the question, the final question of the Tanya, and that is, what is the meaning of the Shekhinah being... We talk about, if I learn Torah, the Shekhinah is with me, or the Shekhinah is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is not more in Yerushalayim, and he's not more in the Kodesh HaKadoshim than he is in Alaska, or California, or North Dakota. Mole kol aretz kavodo. So we have to try to explain, understand on some level, what does it mean that the Shekhinah is here more than there, whatever the here is. And, you know, he'll discuss that. Maybe we'll leave it for next time, where we'll hopefully finish the Sefer Shalbeinunim. This is it. Okay, so I'm going away to Chutz La'aretz for 2 weeks. So our next year will be 3 weeks. And I think that'll be the last year for Sefer Shalbeinunim. We then have to evaluate whether we should go on to the Chelek Beis. I mean, the Tanya has other Chalakim, which are much shorter. The next Chelek is Shar HaYichud V'Yamuna, which elaborates on the Achdus Hashem and Tzimtzum, which she talked a lot about in Tanya. And then we have Igeres HaTshuva, an essay on Tshuva. And then we have Igeres HaKodesh, which is a collection of around 30 letters the Baal HaTanya wrote to his Hasidim over time. And then Kundras Acharon is just the last kind of an appendix on the Tanya. Okay, so we'll figure that out, what the next level is. Okay, you all be well, and much Hashem.
Uh-huh.